This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Follow a Standard Orbit, Mr. Chekhov, and take us home.
Hi, sir.
It is the word of Landru.
Joy to you, friends, and thanks for joining us here in Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated show to the original series. My name is Drew, or Landru, and this is my co-host Mike from Commentary Trek Stars.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. And today we have the honor and the glory of being joined by the crew of the Earl Grey ship.
Huzzah! How's it going, guys? Now we've got Darren. How's it going?
Doing good. Glad to be on board. It's a little more cramped than I'm used to, but it's a really nice ship you had here.
Yeah, the bright colors. You'll get used to the bright colors.
I just keep following this tube that says GNDN. I'm pretty sure that's going to take me where I need to go, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. 100%.
Right. And then we have Daniel.
Hello. And I'm confused by your screens that are on the wall that only show one static image. Like, why do I need to see this painting on the wall? I don't get it.
It's nice.
See, the captain doesn't have a ready room, so we just put his nice galaxy paintings on the bridge where he can admire them.
Yeah. And last but not least, Philip. How's it going, Philip?
Hey, guys. You know, I really like being on a ship where you don't have synthahol. You got the real stuff here in the 23rd century. I'm glad.
Did you get the green stuff again, Philip?
I'm glad. Guy never...
See, you guys do these bits. You guys do these like fully realized bits, seemingly off the top of your head. And every time I hear them, I'm just like, how do they do that? And then when I'm here for one of them, I'm like, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
I'm waiting for a special guest to just go through our back catalog of 100 episodes and catalog how many ranks and positions we've been giving ourselves.
We want a wiki page, dang it.
Make it happen.
Do it. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
You're welcome.
So people may be wondering why we're having these 24th century adventurers on this 23rd century show. And it's because Drew and I are going to travel into the 24th century for a brief moment and take a look at an episode of a show called Star Trek The Next Generation called Relics. So, for those people who may not know, Star Trek The Next Generation was a show which
the
aired
best.
In the 80s. It, you know, I would say that's not accurate, but it is
very
good.
Be a grateful guest, Philip.
No, I mean, I would say
you
that
come onto my ship.
There we go. Let's just saucer separate and get. Oh wait. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, I'm sorry. That's awkward.
We
now.
Can. We just can't put it back together.
That's true. Well, you know, we know. Yeah. Well, we shouldn't really talk about.
Wait, Daniel
saucer.
Has already separated the nacelles. Come back with those nacelles, Daniel.
They're mine. No.
Yeah. No. Next Gen's a good show. I like it. It's cool.
No, I'm really enjoying it. Much like everyone's experience, most people's experience with like TOS, you know, where we started with the movies. I started with the Next Gen movies, and
that's a bold move.
Didn't much care for them. You know, I'll be honest. Like, you know, that really Data got on my nerves. I don't know what it was. Like Data in the movies just is the worst. And then I'm watching the series, and he's like amazing. Like, yeah. I think my favorite episode is the one where he gets a girlfriend. I
in
mean, that's
theory.
Really the
in
only
theory.
Plot in that episode.
Directed by
and
Sir Patrick Stewart.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I was watching Relics again yesterday, and I think because, you know, I saw the show, you know, growing up, I became a Star Trek fan during season 6 of Next Gen. You know, I thought of these characters as people before I thought of them as, you know, people being played by real people. But now when I go back and I look at like the stuff that like Brent Spiner was doing, it's like, holy crap, you know, this guy was on point. You know what I mean? It's insane. It's a really good show. I would say it's like, even though it's not my favorite show, it's like my Star Trek. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the one that I grew up with. That's the one that I knew the titles for every single episode, you know, for the entire seven seasons and all that stuff. That's the one that I obsessed over as a kid. So,
well, I like to think that Brent Spiner is the Jimmy Doohan of TNG, because much like Jimmy Doohan does all the voices for the animated series, Brent Spiner plays all the characters in TNG. So,
also, do you remember the TOS episode where Jimmy Doohan shows up in a dress? Oh wait, that doesn't happen. But
it, I guess, you know, that's okay. Season four would have been awesome.
Yeah. Budget cuts just leaves Jimmy doing, and that's it.
Yeah. So, we're talking about Relics. We're talking about Relics because that's the one with Scotty on it. This came in season 6 of Next Generation, and we're going to kind of look at it more from the TOS perspective than anything else. You know, we had Norm on a few weeks back to look at In a Mirror Darkly, the Enterprise episode, and now we got you guys on, and you know, maybe we'll get some Orbsters or To the Journeyers on in the future. We shall see. But for now, Relics. Okay, what did you guys think of the episode just as an episode on its own? You know, because I'm surprised at how critically acclaimed this episode is. Like when they did their whole Viewer's Choice marathon back right before All Good Things aired, like this was in it. This was in the top 5, you know, and that's crazy to me. Not necessarily wrong, but crazy. Well, it is wrong, but crazy. So, you know, let's start with you, Daniel. What do you think about Relics?
I like Relics. Like we were talking about before the show, I wasn't really familiar with the Scotty character when first I saw it. I mean, I was familiar with him in like a pop culture sense. Like I knew who he, you know, Beam Me Up Scotty, and he, you know, what he kind of did on the ship. So I was aware he was a character and was part of the old crew, but I didn't know him as Scotty. And but it was still a fun episode. Sometimes there are moments in it that really get to me, that really bother me.
Geordi.
Sorry. Oh, Geordi. Mostly involving Geordi. But then there are brilliant moments, like the conversation that Scotty and Picard have on the holodeck on the Enterprise bridge, and kind of the data and the drinking scene. There's lots of fun that to be had in the episode. So I really enjoy it overall, even if it has some issues. I certainly wouldn't put it in the top 5 if that's what you said, that they, the Fan Collective or whatever, put it in. Not nowhere near that, but it's a fun episode. It's a good watch.
What about you, Philip?
Yeah, similar to Daniel, it's one of those things of when Scotty came on, and I'm sure I saw it on the original run, but it's hard to remember back then. But it's sort of like, well, you know, this is going to be a fun episode because I know Scotty from the movies, and he's always, you know, given a good laugh or, you know, everything like that. And so it's always interesting to look back on TOS, on the actual TV series, where he's not a punchline. He's actually a, you know, legit, you know, engineer, acting captain, all this stuff. You know, Scotty in red, that's in the command chair. Anyway, but no, I really enjoyed this episode. I think I have a different take on the Geordi stuff than Daniel does, but I agree, it's interesting. Though it is also, for all the great things about the holodeck scene, which I'm sure we'll talk about, or possibly, you know, is the title too on the nose? Like, yes, Scotty, or Mr. Doohan, you'll be playing in Relics. Oh, is it like the theme of, like, do we find an old relic? Yes.
we do now. There will definitely be some sort of relic in the show other than you at this point now.
Well, what about you, Darren?
Well, I think you aptly, you know, summed it up where it's the one with Scotty in it. I'm pretty sure that's what the Netflix description says, you know, just as accurate. We all know that I really love how Netflix has described all of Star Trek very poorly, having watched the first 5 minutes of each episode. Yeah. But no, I think it's a really fun, good episode and has a good balance, I think, between the A and the B plot, the Scotty and the Dyson Sphere,
Whoa, whoa, Darren. There is no bloody A, B, C, or D plot.
They just jump straight to F plot. But no, I really, you know, I enjoyed this episode. And I remember as well back in 93 when, you know, the Fan Choice Awards and Jonathan Frakes all strutting around the 10 forward and talking. Although, I mean, was it interesting, though, seeing this episode after watching the movies? Because you would have seen Guinan interact with Scotty, and she's not in this episode to be in 10 forward, because that would have been a whole, you know, time slip mess if they had met.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, what about you, Drew? Now you're coming at it from a different perspective than these guys. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I remember seeing it as a kid. It was one of those episodes. It may have been one of the episodes that Dad had on tape, you know, next to his TOS episodes. I do remember watching it with the same friend that I watched Star Trek VI with. And we'd love it. And we'd get the little micro machines out and do the closing sphere doors and have the... I mean, it's the only time the Enterprise actually does, like, even a half barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
It's like just zooms straight through it. And I liked that sense of excitement that episode had. But in watching it, I don't think I'd seen it since then. So watching it today, it was really interesting for me. I went into it expecting, you know, because it's the one where Geordi treats Scotty like crap, is how I've been thinking about it most recently. But really, I felt the whole arc that they were giving Scotty in this episode. He was getting on my nerves too. Like, I thought it was just from the cliches that we'd been throwing around for the last few years. You know, I thought that Scotty was just like, hey, let me help. And Geordi's like, no, go away, old man. But in reality, Scotty's like, you know, pushing wrong buttons. He's literally taking out the dilithium crystals and poking them like, hey, there's a crack in this one. That is really annoying. And I can kind of get behind Geordi on this. But then, so I'm just like, oh, yeah, get out of the way, old man. Even though he's like my old man. But then... Wow. You know, when he has the breakdown on the bridge of the old Enterprise and that conversation with Picard, I got all choked up. You know, it hit me in all the right spots, and Ron D. Moore should be super proud of it.
Well, this goes into my theory that I'll talk about, and Darren and Daniel try to tell me to get over it, about the obsession with TNG writers and aging. That they're always writing about getting old. I mean, these are like 30-year-olds that are writing this, right? I'm like, I don't, you know.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but like, I mean, like you say, Drew, this is a very spot on story, which I know this might not necessarily be the TOS element for here, but yeah, I agree. I do love it.
No, yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I wonder how much of that has to do with like the head writers, you know, getting on that, you know, sort of
pillar and
thematic thing. I mean, like, we just talked to Larry Nemechek about Michael Piller on commentary Trek Stars, and he was talking about how the reason why Michael Piller would always wear a baseball cap is because he was balding, and that was how he came up with the idea for Insurrection, was because he's like, it would be nice if I could just reverse this crap, you know? And then you also hear about, like, Jeri Taylor and how she was the one who was like, you know, we should have older crew members. How come all the crew members are 20-somethings? Let's have some old people walking around the background.
You know, there's a 3-year-old on that show.
There is?
Kes.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking Next Gen. But yeah, no, that's true. That's true. She's a 3-year-old. But it's a 3-year-old who gets old really fast, right?
Who just happens to be a hot 20-something, you know? It's like...
But, you know, I mean, so maybe that's what that is. I don't know. Like, in terms of, like, my thoughts on this episode, like, I always did think of it as, like, yeah, it's the Scotty one. You know, and that's always sort of, like, been its thing. Like, yeah, it's the Scotty one. But, like, the fact that it is so well regarded and everything, when I was watching it again yesterday, which was for the first time in, you know, a good long while, I guess I was kind of... trying to see what made it so special. And what I ended up seeing while watching it was, yeah, no, it is a good episode. But at the same time, like, you take out Scotty and you replace him with random old guy from the 23rd century.
Like
and
Frasier?
All of a sudden, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly.
If like you, if you from a book of some sort, Darren?
if you stuck, you know, anyone else in there aside from, you know, James Doohan, it would just be like, yeah, it's a good episode. Yeah, that's cool. It's a cool little episode that they did. I mean, there's nothing about it which is like overwhelmingly anything, you know? It's strange. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to jump in and say I agree with you to a degree. Like, if it wasn't Scotty, it wouldn't mean as much, but it would be probably just a good episode, like a good solid episode, like you're saying. But that's okay, because like, you get more out of it from knowing Scotty. Like, that's where the power of the episode comes from. That's where the greatness of the episode comes from. Like, if you've followed this character, watched this character for years and years and years, that's where it comes from, because this is kind of his, you know, of course, it's his wrap up for his character. You know, the last we get to see of him, technically.
I guess that's true, you know, and that's cool. But I guess I'm thinking of it more from like a production standpoint. When you think of like unification and, you know, the philosophy behind that, it's like, oh my God, it's Spock, you know, or like anything, you know, I mean, Generations, or, you know, taking this into like Voyager with, you know, flashback. It's like, oh my God, you know, whereas this one, it's just like, hey, Scotty, oh, that's cool. You know,
are we like at the bar? Hey, it's Scotty, guys. Hey,
Scotty. Pretty much. I mean, isn't that kind of how this episode plays?
Didn't it take Andy like 20 minutes to figure out that she's supposed to know who this guy is? Like, well, I think she was watching it like it was just some random old guy from the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's because she hasn't seen
it the first time. Right.
Well, we had Andy on for an episode where we talked about how TNG played in her head retroactively after she finished the original series. And we brought up Relics, and she said she rewatched it, and she said she thought it was a good episode. She enjoyed it the first time. And I'm obviously paraphrasing here, so forgive me, Andy, if I'm getting a little bit of this wrong.
She said it was awesome!
Said the same. It's exactly what we're saying here. It's the same thing that we're saying here. But she said when she rewatched it, after she had seen the original series and learned who Scotty was, then it became so much more, so much better than if it was just random old fart from, you know, 80 years ago or whatever.
Makes sense.
And I'm wondering from you guys who are usually thinking in more of a TOS capacity, or you know, whether it's JJ or Prime or whatever, you know, is this a cartoon version of Scotty that we get in Relics? Which I don't mean to say he's a cartoon, I mean, because there's a very serious, like you said, but there's a deep heart to this episode. But like, is this the Scotty that even from the movies you all recognize, or is this like the incarnation that's pop culture Scotty that we see in Relics?
I don't think it's pop culture Scotty, but he is kind of different from he's more mellow than the movie Scotty, where he's, you know, trying to make out with Uhura, and then, you know, like, you know, the Klingon bitch didn't shed a bloody tear, and you know that he's more mellow, but he would be, because theoretically it would take place after Six, even though it was filmed before.
I swore I'd never get involved in a time trap. Oh, sorry.
Don't forget, he might be more mellow because he just lost his lifelong buddy Franklin.
Franklin.
You know, good old loss. Franklin.
I mean, he should have like poured one out at Guinan's bar for Franklin. You know,
he deserved better. He really did.
Well, it's weird in that, you know, I mean, this is something that we do talk about rather frequently, which is, you know, unlike Next Generation, for example, it's not about the family. It's not about the crew as a unit. It's really about Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and then those other four guys who show up every once in a while when it's needed because of plot purposes. And while Scotty is certainly number four in that group, he's still not one of the top three. And to me, that almost makes him a caricature to begin with. You know, there isn't that much character there to start with. And I think, like, having someone like Ron Moore, who is a huge fan of the original series, write this one was a really smart idea, because he is going to know what it is that makes that character like an actual character and not just like a caricature. And I don't think that he is being a caricature or being portrayed as a caricature here, but I do think that some of that comes out because, for one thing, you need those iconic moments. You know, you need to check off those boxes.
I see what you did.
What?
You need to check off those boxes.
He didn't even see it.
What did I do?
You need to check off those boxes.
Nuclear vessels, that's all.
Is our relics episode going to be named after Chekhov?
Probably. This never is all him. We do is we make references to episode titles and mock Daniel about not knowing the Q episodes. That's pretty much every episode of Earl Grey.
Don't let him know our secret. But anyway, yes. So, you know, I mean, aside from that, you know, I mean, you are going to come up with some sort of like caricature feel, even if it's not a caricature, or you know, that's my impression anyway. One of the things that I do love about this episode is how it sort of crystallizes the idea which runs throughout the entire series of Geordi being a world-class a-hole, you know? And I mean, I think that that's kind of great that they decided to deal with that head-on in this particular episode, and such a high-profile one at that. So that I like about this episode, because he's a really big jerk, you know? And to speak to what Drew was saying,
you could say that LeVar Burton is probably the nicest man alive. So it's
oh yeah,
it's
no, I mean, like, acting
right there. He's a good actor.
It's like we did a series on him for Trek Stars, and I kept on saying, like, he's a very good actor. He seems like a good guy. He's very good at playing a jerk, you know? He's kind of like Rutger Hauer or whatever, you know? He's the Rutger Hauer of Next Generation.
Yeah, you know, one thing actually that did stick out to me in this rewatch was the fact that he just, any chance he gets, he just happens to bring up Leah Brahms. Oh, yeah, guess what Leah Brahms did?
I love that too, because that's such a real thing, you know? Like, he could have told any story.
Let me tell you a story about my girlfriend.
Exactly. He tells the story.
She goes,
not,
she's
not
another
just
ship.
His girlfriend.
You've never heard of it.
Right. And it's not just his girlfriend, because if it was his girlfriend, then that wouldn't be as true, right? Because he wouldn't feel the need to do it. But he's telling the story about the girl who he wants to be his girlfriend, right? That is such a real life thing to do. You know? I knew this girl one time.
But he was telling the story of the actual time he met her. Not the time.
Not the fake.
He fake
time.
Created her
it's,
as a holodeck
it's still
creator.
Weird.
Yeah, that I'm sure Scotty would immediately be like, "That doesn't seem moral, laddie."
Like, no, this one time, like Leia and I, you know, I call her Leia. We were, or Leia, and we were, you know, it was this asteroid field, and she's like, "Oh man, that would have been great to meet her." Oh, well, she wasn't actually there.
Holographic girlfriends. Holographic ale.
Yep. But I don't know. I do like that. I like how they deal with that, which is kind of cool. And to speak to Drew's point about how, like, you were kind of, you know, feeling that sense of, you know, like, annoyance towards Scotty. Like, I can see that, but at the same time, I mean, just speaking from personal experience, and you know, everyone's had to deal with this, where, you know, there might be someone who is a figure which, you know, commands respect. And they might get on your nerves because they might think that you're more interested in what they're talking about than they're actually talking about. But at the same time, you know how to handle that, you know? You know how to not disrespect them. And, you know, Geordi did not. I mean, Picard knew it, you know? Picard was like, hey, I'm going to sit on this ship with you, and I'm going to drink some of this green stuff. And then, you know, Geordi, you go. I mean, he's saying, like, well, the captain wanted me to finish this in an hour. I told him an hour. He doesn't care. It's like if Geordi would have called up Picard and been like, hey, here's the deal. You know, Picard would have said, well, okay, fine. 2 hours is fine. Show him around. That's cool. That takes priority. And then we'll get this thing scanned.
Well,
you know,
Mike,
what I mean?
You have to remember, Mike, Picard is Scotty's age because Picard's been in command 85 years.
That's true.
And so,
if only, right, we have a giant ship with 1,000 people. if only we don't leave this living legend alone in his giant quarters after a traumatic experience. Well, if only there was somebody on the ship whose expertise was
who could counsel him in this
sort of something.
As he has a hold.
They tried. They couldn't fit it in. I mean, they at least thought about it for half a second.
They had to make room for Geordi telling his Leah Brom story.
Yeah, that's one thing. He reacts very well to being pulled out of his time, to never seeing anyone alive of his, you know, friends. Like, I know, I mean, I've read a book or two about people who've been pulled through time, and they don't take it very well, usually.
Darren, you gotta remember, this is the same guy who fought Apollo over a girl, okay? Scotty's not gonna get fazed by a little time travel, okay?
That's true, except for his mate, you know, not making it through. That's probably the one thing that is a stickler.
And, guys, like, and we don't get this in TNG, but you have to remember, back in the old days, they could just go around the sun to travel through time whenever they wanted, so it's not a big deal. He could have just gone back in time.
Is there that awkward part, like, near the end, where he's, like, walking back to his shuttle, like, so will this take me back, or...
You said it wasn't very fast. Can I go fast enough to slingshot around the sun?
Can we slingshot the Dyson sphere? Because that's basically a sun.
That's the shuttle to the retirement home.
It's auto-programmed.
Are you saying it's like Moriarty with the holodeck? Like, Scotty sees all these things happening and the shuttle just goes, docks
the retirement.
It's USS
Carl Fredrickson. It's just going to take you right there.
Oh, you're going to have a great time in this shuttle, Scotty. Come on, let's just go. It'll be fun. Don't worry
Captain
about
Scotty,
it.
Riker going to this farm.
Programs it in so he can take him to Ryza. It's got two buttons, Ryza and the retirement planet.
Oh, Scotty would totally go to Ryza.
Oh, yeah. He'd have a good time.
Yeah, he'd like that.
So one thing I noticed, because this is the first time I watched this episode since I'd learned about all the behind-the-scenes stuff about Next Generation and how Next Generation wasn't allowed to talk about Vulcans or anything related to TOS, and I guess, like, Unification kind of, like, broke that seal, and so Ron Moore just went insane. Like, okay, we went from not referencing that Star Trek, the original series, happened, to, okay, you know, we'll talk about it in, like, the third episode. Hey, the original Enterprise found a drug kind of like this, and here's how they beat it. To, I'm going to mention 9 different episodes in this episode. I'm going to talk about Alana Troyes. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about Naked Now. Naked Time. Which Geordi should have been like, wait a minute. Tell that story again.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I like that. You know, I like the fact that at that point they realized where they were at and, you know, where their place was in the mythology. And, you know, they were comfortable enough with it to say, like, you know what, we can sort of just bust this wide open and do whatever we want. And, you know, again, getting someone like Ron Moore to handle that, I think, was kind of perfect.
Yeah, I read in the trivia that Brandon Braga was, like, assigned to write it. And he's just like, I don't know anything about TOS, and he just hands it back.
I was going to
say, now I want to watch that scene again, because I didn't pick that up. So he's in the scene like where he's referencing past whatever he's actually referencing TOS episodes.
Specific episodes, yeah.
Okay. Which
when
means,
he's,
that
when
totally
he's talking
sense.
To that poor kid who drops him off in his room.
Because he
okay,
dagger
see,
the
that
mind.
Was actually a command test. That kid should have been like calling up his CO, been like, hey, this guy is like really depressed. Like, can you just put someone else on my shift for a couple hours so I can just sit and listen to him, you know, just talk to me? But nope, he's like, I gotta get back to duty. And I just
realized something. Maybe that's like, we're like, Geordi's not treating Scotty with respect, and nobody seems to like really know who he is or anything except for maybe Picard. Maybe they watched TOS. And so it's just like, so Spock, he's a big deal, and everybody understands that, and everybody knows that. But then they meet Scotty, and they're like, yeah, I remember reading about you in the back of this book once, you know?
I'm going to say Sully. Is that your name?
It's Welshy. That's his name. Welshy.
Welshy.
No, that's, you know, I mean, that goes into, you know, Max's theory that TOS is a television show which exists in the 24th century. You know, it's historical fiction, and that explains away a lot of the content. Yeah, it explains away a lot of the continuity errors and everything, and yet you can still reference things that happen. So yeah, they're all big fans of Star Trek, and yeah, you know, they've seen that episode before.
Or maybe they didn't watch Star Trek.
Yeah, maybe they thought it was boring. Maybe the only nerds watch Star Trek.
Their admirals didn't let them.
Well, the only thing Riker remembers about Star Trek is there was someone taking a shower in their clothes. So clearly, it didn't really. He never saw, the good.
Which
ones,
is surprising because there's a lot in TOS that I think Riker would could get behind. But
yeah,
Riker just likes to get behind things, so that's okay.
There are a lot of. I know we often use the word fan service as being derogatory, but in a positive way, there obviously, as you mentioned, a lot of fan service moments. Though I think the only one that kind of gets me to like, unfortunately it's the first one, is like the transporter, and I'm like,
the TOS beam-in. Yeah, I noticed that this time.
Yeah, well, it's TOS specific beam-in and not the movie era beam-in.
Yeah, which I know that's a very nerd nitpick, but I'm just like, I hope this
doesn't
set the tone.
That doesn't bother me. I mean, in terms of like fan service things that bother me in this episode, okay, he's on his way to his retirement thing. Why is he wearing his freaking uniform? And also, why don't they give him another set of clothes, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like,
they take his awesome movie era badge and they replace it with a regular com badge. It's like, what?
And then in addition to that, they're like, well, we'll wash your clothes, but we're not going to. I mean, that seems a little weird to me. But I mean, yeah, in terms of fan service being a good thing, like fan service, yeah, it can be a bad thing. But when you have someone like Ron Moore, who knows how to structure a story and then also is the biggest fan, like, I think that you get that nice balance and you get those things like, you know, you're talking about where they're actually referencing real episodes and they're not saying, like, you remember, like, in that time where there was that person, you know, I think her name was Elan of Troyes or whatever, you know, but they just say that like, what happened or whatever. And that's awesome, you know? I mean, that's what you should do. That's why you have such a dense mythology, is so that you can reference crap like that.
He's like, that one planet, I got in a wee bit of trouble on that one, the Dagger of Mind reference.
yeah, you know?
And so, in defense of the transporter thing, by the way, I actually love that. I thought it was a fantastic little touch, because it's not anything that you would, unless you're a Star Trek, diehard Star Trek fan, you're not even going to notice anyways. Like, people are beaming everywhere all over the place. All the time anyways, who cares? Sometimes it's gold, sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's whatever color. And but if you wanted to kind of retcon it or fix the canon there, you could just say that it's this tiny little dinky little transport ship, and it's not like the flagship of the fleet. So maybe they don't have the newest transporters.
Did have the movie era nacelles. I think you would have noticed that, Daniel.
I did notice the nacelles, yeah.
Wait, and we
which
also
are the nacelles I hate the most, by the way, but I won't even get into that.
They it's, you know, just like any other thing, you know, where it's like their transporter broke and the spare that was in the warehouse was this one from, you know, the original series era, whatever, and that's what they used. So, makes sense.
And like, I completely just, like, I'm not even going to mention, other than to mention it, because I can't mention it if I don't mention it. Like, the whole Kirk line, I just flush it. I don't even count it. You know, whatever.
I mean, I kind of like the retcon explanation, which is like, he's been in a transporter for 75 years, guys.
That 0.003% is that one memory that Kirk's actually dead.
Yeah, don't be such a Geordi about it.
And plus, I mean, you guys, just remember, this episode...
I'm going to start using
that. This episode and Generations... Two totally different writers. They weren't even maybe he should have remembered. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
We can't be bound by, you know, retcon. Like, let's just blow up planets. That just makes everything better.
Retcon. I see what you did there, Darren.
The wrath of retcon.
They have talked about that. I think Ron Morris talked about that, where it's like, what about the line and the thing? And he's like, yes, we are very aware of that, but were we like just not going to use Scotty because of that one line?
Oh, what about beaming through the shields? What about so many things?
Yeah.
No, it's us. Who cares? But yeah, and it's interesting about the flavor that each character brings. Like, you know, Spock, unification was sort of a very, you know, not logical, but like a very serious, you know, much more serious episode, right? Sarek was a very heavy, respectful episode, right? Just like that character. You know, we all of us have Talk Generations because y'all were good enough to come on our show and Talk Generations. And we came on yours, of course. So you have whatever you want to say Kirk added to that.
Adventure.
To the cooking scene.
Egg cooking. Yes.
So wood chopping.
But yeah, I see what you're saying, Philip, though, is it's, you know, it was fun. It's a fun episode. I'm glad they didn't take it too fun. Like, imagine if they had, like, mixed it up with some other episode B plots and, you know, Scotty's found in a transporter and the Ferengi take over the Enterprise.
Yeah. And, you know, but luckily, Scotty has 5 tribbles to help him retake the ship.
Luckily, they don't beam anyone who's they don't recognize anyone who's over 180 as being a threat. And so they don't. Can he learn the technology fast enough?
I would see the Reverse Rascals episode where it's like Scotty and Pulaski have to retake the Enterprise from the Ferengi.
Well, if you do the direct swap, now it's, you know, the Enterprise discovers the Dyson Sphere as Captain Picard, Guinan, Keiko, and
Ro.
Are accidentally changed into children. Can they escape the Dyson Sphere playground?
So let's talk about the holodeck scene, like the actual, like the heart of this episode, where Scotty just goes onto the old bridge to cry, and Picard.
I see you like enterprising while you enterprise. Would you like your enterprise in your enterprise?
I like that Picard found him, and was able to help him out and to reminisce with him, and not really just be like, you know, you need to buck up, old man, even though you're probably younger than me. And it was just about like old girlfriends you can never revisit, and it's like that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, they should have talked to Geordi about that, you know?
No, guys, real girlfriend.
Real talking girlfriend. About real ones, Geordi.
That's okay. The thing. Geordi gets to visit that old girlfriend whenever he wants. He just has to call up that old program.
But it's not real. It's not real.
Scotty's never recognizes he starts that, acting, you know?
So the doctor's not real. Well, thanks for wiping out Voyager, Mike.
Oh.
So, you know, whatever. What if, like, it was okay Geordi came that, in whatever. And set up a card, and then he's like, oh, sorry, I was actually going to run a program, Jupiter.
I know I said I was too busy for you down in engineering.
I have to visit my holographic girlfriend. Sorry.
Not too busy for Utopia Planitia.
The doors slide open, and behind the turbolift is Jupiter Station. And
it's cool because, I mean, that to me, that moment with Picard, I mean, I love that because it says so much about Picard, you know, and what a cool guy he is. It reminds me a lot of, like, I don't know, did you guys watch Friday Night Lights? No. A little bit. Yeah. It reminds me of, well, watch Friday Night Lights because it's the bomb.
Is Patrick
anyway,
Stewart
it reminds
in
me,
it?
Yes, he is. It reminds me of, like, the stuff. The stuff with the dad and the coach, the dad, it's like every time that there's like a you know, the kids are doing something, whatever, he comes in and he just gives them that sort of like tough love thing where he's like there and he knows what they need, you know, and he gives it to them. And, you know, you kind of leave that scene thinking like, wow, yeah. That's how I should live my life, you know, and it's great. And I got that impression from this scene with Picard. The one weird thing about it, okay, I mean, and it's maybe not weird to the internal like character thing, but it's not what I would expect dramatically speaking. Is after that scene, he goes up to Geordi and he gives him the whole speech about how like people need to be needed and everything like that, and he's like, you know, I think that Scotty can help us out. You know, do you think that he'd be willing to do that? And Geordi's like, I think he would. I think that would be a good way for him to be needed, and that's what he needs. What you would expect after that scene is a scene where, like, Geordi goes to Scotty's quarters and is like, hey, man, I was wondering if you could do us a favor. We need your help with this thing. And Scotty's like, you know what? I'll do that for you. I will do that for you, and I will feel useful, and you need me, and that makes me feel good. But instead, the next scene that we get is them in the transporter room, and Geordi's like, so, how's it going? And he's like, oh, I've got the worst hangover. He's like, can you do this? And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Fine. You know? And I kind of love that because it's like, they're like, we're doing this out of pity to help you. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's just get this over with. Can we go back home now?
I got one last mission before I retire, kid.
Mendoza.
One of the elements of that scene that I actually really enjoy, well, there's two things that are actually both Picard related, but that's okay. I like the fact that they equate essentially the Enterprise for Scotty with the Stargazer with Picard, because as we know, Picard served on the Stargazer, I think something like 2,000 years or something before, and you know, it's hardly ever referenced in TNG, but we get occasional mentions of it. And then the other part that I really like is the look that Scotty gives Picard when he downs the whiskey, you know. Picard, not often thought of like the kind of wild captain that he can, you know, he's more of the intellectual, the thinking captain, but you know, he's gonna impress Scotty with his drinking abilities, and that's always fun. I enjoy that.
Well, you know, I have to say, I'm thinking about the number of times we see captains drinking straight from the bottle. We have Kirk with the thorium brandy.
That was just half of him, though.
The fun half. We have the Picard with the Albarian whiskey. I'm trying to think. I'm sure Sisko drank like a thing of blood wine, just double, you know, kegged it or something at some point. But anyway.
Well, then, Picard also had ales for everyone.
And I think
well, that wasn't
Janeway picked up the coffee urn and was like, just
Nebula coffee.
Well, I mean, one thing I like, and it's almost subtle, but it adds a lot to the Scotty character, is when Scotty's giving like his backstory that we have to like now like create and imagine, like, you know, I served in all these freighters and blah, 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 blah. We're like, what?
Now,
where's the 11 IDW
ships? What?
Where's the IDW Scotty's career comic series? Because that's
come on, Memory Alpha. There's a gap right there. Let's fill it.
Yeah. It's like a different season for each ship. That'd be pretty awesome.
Well, I guess they could have been previous to the Enterprise.
Yeah,
that's probably what a lot of them are, right?
Because he said that was his first time serving as the chief engineer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to make sure you mentioned is in reviewing Memory Alpha, as everyone usually does when they talk about an episode, you know, they were talking about how, or I've heard it also discussed that some of the also conflict between Geordi and Scotty is because Geordi was on the command track. Geordi was a bridge officer, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't the chief engineer till season two. And so how you, and looking at it in that lens, the way you see Scotty talking about his Enterprise and being a chief engineer, and the way you see Geordi kind of like doing his job, you can kind of tell, you know, again, this is maybe just the subtleness of their acting, but you know, that they have very different ways of approaching being the chief engineer of a starship. I mean, and Scotty's nice enough to, you know, not put down LaForge at all and just, you know, gives him, you know, it's the Enterprise is in good hands, you know, at the end. But, you know, for the way we look at Scotty, an engineer, it's like, that's his zone. That's his space. That's what he's meant to do, you know. Just like he would tell Kirk not to get promoted above captain, you know, people would tell Scotty, like, don't go above being a chief engineer. That's what you love.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is true. And you see that, like, in the real world and everything, like, people who are in jobs as stepping stones and people who are in jobs because this is their thing, you know, this is what they've been working up to or whatever. And I mean, yeah, that is kind of cool that they did that. So, you know, I like that.
So is this the Peter principle for the TOS? You're saying that in the 5-year mission, that was as good it was ever going to get? Like, well, Commander Chekov, I mean, you're really good at that nav station. I know you've been in Starfleet 80 years, but I really think that's really where you belong.
It's weird. I mean, it's a weird concept. You know, I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, Scotty addresses that very point in the episode when, you know, they're apparently going to have an argument over who's going to command this tiny little ship at this point. But you know,
whoa, Daniel, that was a big shuttle.
Yeah.
Yes. All ships are big shuttles, Daniel.
And he's like, you know, Scotty says the line, yeah, I never wanted to be captain. I always wanted to be chief engineer. So,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's Geordi in command again. Yeah.
All right.
We have a thing. It's blown up, though.
Yeah.
On purpose. To be fair, it was on purpose.
Picard lost a ship. Well, he lost two ships. And in fact, let's actually not talk about this.
So this holodeck thing, does this negate These Are the Voyages? Because Scotty asks for the bridge of the Enterprise, and the ship's just like, there are five ships named Enterprise. Pick one.
There are five.
Ooh, let's be Federation
ships.
Five Federation ships.
I know, but
ships.
She's. But the computer automatically assumed he was talking about Federation ships.
Well,
the computer made a lot of assumptions, actually, because it could have been.
And wouldn't it automatically want to bring up, say, the bridge of the Enterprise, the boat that you get promoted on?
Or the movie
Or the
refit.
Space shuttle.
That's true.
Exactly. So the computer made a reasonable judgment based on the situation.
Look,
I think.
It's like when you ask, do you want to watch Star Trek? And automatically Netflix brings up The Next Generation. So, I mean, like, it's...
No, yeah, it is like that. I was just thinking, it's like, you know, when you do a Google search and you type it in and then it gives you the options.
Oh, right? So it picks the most popular one.
When you're doing a holodeck selection, Michael, do you just press I Feel Lucky and see what program is when you open up?
So you're saying every time you watch a TOS episode on Netflix, when it's ending, it's and about to play the next episode, it's about to play a... TNG episode, you're like, no, I'm watching TOS. Stop recommending. I don't want to watch Alex.
I love the idea that the holodeck has a Google like type search. Like, oh, you start by being like,
it's like Siri.
Goes up.
The computer's exactly like Siri.
You go up to the holodeck and like, you know, I would like a beach scene, and it's a beach scene with mermaids, beach scene with, you know, whatever.
And Riker was the last person there, and it's just like the Riker Googling Twitter account.
10,000 results in 3.2 seconds. Well, that doesn't really help narrow it down, computer.
No, but I mean, that's what it has to be. If you look at how detailed that stuff is, unless you want to spend your entire time programming it yourself, there have to be defaults, you know? Yeah. And it makes sense that if you type in Enterprise, I mean, just like, yeah, I mean, it is like a Google search. You type in Enterprise and you look at what pictures come up in Google or whatever. I mean, it's got to do that. It has to. Oh. Otherwise, no one would ever be able to actually use it.
I'm sorry. Right? We meant Alphabet.
But let's think of how if Riker was going up in Pegasus to do that and he said, show me the bridge of the Enterprise. And the computer responded the same way. How does he retort that?
No.
What is he?
He's like the NX-01.
The original Enterprise.
Yeah. He said they had asked by registry, and you could easily give NX-01.
Yeah. Same way you find a picture of the Enterprise in Google, you know?
You type Enterprise twice.
Enterprise squared, because that's the episode.
Or is it like Google Images, where it gives you like the broad categories on top? So it's like... Oh, the really long mission logs, the really short mission log Enterprise one. Yeah, that one. The one that doesn't have
as
many logs.
Yeah, here's the car rental company and yeah, all of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it works. It works. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it is... It almost doesn't need to be said, but I'll say it. It's cool to see that NCC 1701 bridge. I mean, even though, yeah, production-wise, you can talk about what's real or what's not real, but the fact that you have, you know... not only Scotty sitting at his station, engineering station, but Scotty in the captain's chair, because especially this being standard orbit, one thing that I love about Scotty on the original series that often gets lost in the movies, and I would say even this episode of Relics, Scotty is a great captain.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great captain, and I'm really, you know, like, we talk about Geordi being on command track. I could have seen Scotty having his own ship easily.
Although, I will say the thing about that scene is, and it bothered the crap out of me here. I don't know whose bridge that was. I forget. But he sets the bottle down, okay? And he doesn't set it like on the nice empty space right behind the buttons. He sets it on the buttons and it's kind of like slanted. I can just see everyone behind the scenes being like, oh shit, he's going to drop that green stuff. Do you know how much that stains? No, no.
He's like,
what
guys,
are you
chill.
Doing?
It's Kool-Aid. It's Kool-Aid. Chill, chill.
I'm just thinking like in the holodeck, did he press the jettison pod button? And then like some poor hapless lieutenant is now.
Okay. Some hologram. Lieutenant. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Kyle.
You've activated court martial.
Well, you know, and then Picard just busts in, opening up the arch and, the, you know, breaking the illusion. He couldn't use the turbo lift, like, maintain the illusion just a little bit.
Yeah, where on earth is he walking out? Why on earth would that be where the holodeck would spit you out?
Just the view screen. All
right. Yeah, whatever. Well, any final thoughts on Relics, Philip?
I mean, just that it was good to see Scotty again. I mean, if you do the, I would say math, I guess, but yeah, if you do the math, we hit every original series person except one throughout the rest of this outside of TOS. We get Scotty and Spock and Sarek and Kirk and Chekhov and Scotty again in Next Gen. And we get Sulu in Voyager. But Uhura, sorry. Sorry.
When do we hit Chekhov?
Generations.
Generations.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry.
It took me
that.
A yeah. second, too. Don't feel bad.
I'm like, we even hit Sulu's daughter instead of Uhura. So, I mean, I'm not saying sexism, but I am. But no, I'm just glad we got to see Scotty again, you know, while Jimmy Doohan was still alive and able to do such things. So it's a great episode, funny, and really captures that character.
All right. What about you, Darren?
Yeah, this is a fun episode, and definitely one I really enjoy. And it was fun watching it again in HD this time and picking up on little things like the transporter sound effect. And but I've always loved the Dyson Sphere B-plot. It's just a very creative science fiction concept, and again, loosely based on, you know, someone's paper somewhere. But again, whether or not you could actually build
that Picard has memorized.
Yeah, well, you know, he's sciencing the science for the sake of the science. But no, this is a really fun one, and I enjoy it, and I think it's a good send-off for Scotty, and you know, did it fall on a particular, like,
no
episode anniversary or something? It was just for the heck of it. I couldn't remember. But yeah, as they slowly work their way from mentioning the word Spock in Sarek to seeing Spock in, you know, unification, and then here's Scotty, and it makes sense, you know, it works, and you know, I think they actually had Scotty in a lot of the novels in like the Starfleet Corps of Engineers. I've read a couple, and he has like a Challenger. I think it's like the USS Challenger, which is an Enterprise or is a Galaxy class starship, which is fun, you know, just to see these characters bouncing around again. And you know, that's what's fun about Star Trek is, you know, once you let yourselves out of the box of we can't talk about our past, you know, why not reference this huge history of and this huge amount of things? You don't have to, you know, bind yourself to it, but, you know, at least use it to its benefit. So and great episode. Definitely a good season six episode.
And just one quick question, because I know you guys talk about Gary Seven and all these other things. Was Relic and Captain Worf and Captain Sulu, was Relics the pilot spinoff for the Captain Scott series? Because he gets his own shuttle. Hey, I wonder what adventures he'll have. Credits roll.
Well, I mean, I
think
that we
back
see those,
pilot?
Right?
Actually, he never left the holodeck.
No, it's a backdoor pilot for Homeboys from Outer Space. Which is a great show.
What?
Featuring James Doohan as
great.
Pippin.
I saw it. I remember seeing it in the 90s.
Yeah. That was actually
UPN or
we've been meaning
WB?
To talk.
I can't remember which one. The UPN.
The guy Michael Price who writes all those Lego Star Wars things, he was actually a writer on that show. And he talked about how like they had him on as Pippin, you know, which is a great reference, especially if you're a Chicago person. And everyone loved it. And then the network came in and they're like, you can't do that because he's basically just playing Scotty from Star Trek. And, you know, were worried about getting sued. And they're like, "We, you're Paramount. You own Star Trek. What's the
we're gonna sue ourselves? Dang it!"
So they made them stop. They had to kick him off the show, which is very unfortunate. But I would say that Relics is a backdoor pilot for Homeboys from Outer Space. That's in my headcanon.
Headcanon accept.
So, Daniel, we haven't gotten to you yet, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah, so what are your thoughts?
That's
all right.
Daniel? We ignore him on our show, too. It's fine.
It happens.
Talking about Scotty is not the only thing. Okay. Oh, sorry, Dad. Sorry.
Guys!
It's that redheaded
Can
ensign.
Someone pay attention to me?
The shuttle door is just closing, and we're just like...
I know you're just here to show me to my quarters, but please talk to me. I'll just echo what Philip and Darren said. Is just, it's a good episode. It's a solid episode. It's not perfect. There are issues with it, but you know, we get to pick up on this character and kind of relive TOS for these 40 minutes through his eyes. And, I enjoyed it. I have a lot of fun with it. And Scott, even if it was a terrible episode, it would still have James Doohan being Scotty. And, you know, honestly, that's enough for me. And then to add to the fact that this is at least, the very least, a good episode overall, even without that element, it pushes it over the top for me. So I have so much fun every time I watch Relics. And, I think most people will as well.
Drew?
I really like it. I'm not going to put it in my top five of TNG. Even though I'm not done with TNG yet, but it is fun. It's kind of heartwarming. I was misty through most of it. It hit me in all the right spots, and I think that Ronald D. Moore should be given his own series and see what he comes up with on his own, or maybe like rebooting some other old television series.
Oh, like TOS?
Something like that. More like Star Wars.
Okay, I can see it.
Yeah, I think that Ron Moore has a future in television. Something tells me. You can see it. You can
like
see
a Lost in Space? Is that?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Maybe something like that. That'd
with
be
Matt
cool.
LeBlanc, it'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like this episode a lot. I think that, you know, one of the things that really struck me in this episode is how good James Doohan is. He really sort of nails the character in this, and he's got sort of a very stylized sort of 60s performance, but it works well for the story that they're telling and the character that they're using, and it gels well and is an interesting counterpoint to what you see throughout Next Gen. The one thing I will say, though, is the technobabble. He has no idea what the hell he's talking about.
You can see him reading the cue cards off the side. I swear to you.
It's like, oh, we could do that. Yeah, that would
be a thing with the thing. Because the thing. And it's like, well, okay. But that's okay because, you know, he's got the drinking down cold. So, you know, it's all good. So, yeah, I like this episode quite a bit. Although I don't think that it is, like, the best of the best of the best or anything like that. It's really good. It's really good.
For TNG episodes that feature TOS characters, it's right up there in the top five.
It's the Citizen Kane of TNG episodes with TOS characters in them.
That is too long of a title,
it's not
Mike.
Not even the top five.
I also don't even think that's true.
Yeah,
better?
Because this was good.
Generations.
Sarek is way better than...
Sarek is real good.
Way better than Relics.
Oh, you mean the
that
other
doesn't even count.
The other episode featuring an original series character that talks about the issue of aging? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, this has been fun. Yeah. Thanks for doing this, guys. It's good to hear a 24th century perspective on things. So it's great. Now where can people find you elsewhere in the 24th century?
They can find us each and every week here on the network, Earl Grey, talking all things, of course, TNG, like you said. And they can find me on Twitter, My handle is NC Public Servant. That's NC for no Chekhov puns.
No Chekhov puns, public servant?
Yes.
And they can find me on Twitter talking about science fiction in general under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's DrSciFi.
And they can find me as well on Twitter. And I'm 1UpDan. That is the number one, not the word.
Excellent. So yeah, be sure to check out Earl Grey. It's fine quality.
It's another show on the network.
Highly caffeinated.
Hey, we featuring the voice talents of Mike Schindler and the role playing talents of Drew Stewart.
That's true. Episode 100. Yeah. We were featured.
Yeah. Sorry, I was so not good at that.
We just fixed
you
it.
You were
post.
Totally
okay.
A Romulan. It was obvious.
Excellent.
I could feel your shoulder pads through your voice.
No, it was, you know, when Andy started talking, I got a little like, ha, ha, ha. And then when Daniel heard your voice, Mike, he just lost it.
I don't know. I don't understand why, but it was pretty funny to watch.
It was just because it was the scope of that episode was never revealed to us. So I had no idea how many people were involved. So it was actually just kind of cumulative. So every time another host, it's like I heard their voice.
And Christopher Jones.
It just got better and better and better. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
And yeah, everyone, check out Earl Grey. They're good.
Huzzah!
Well, that was fun talking with Earl Grey today. But Earl Grey is only two of the topics we've been talking about on Trek FM this week, so here's a quick look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Well, it's very small and intimate, and you get to see, you know, a lot of people whose work you've come to admire or whatever, and I mean, that's what's kind of cool about it. The fact that it's in a hotel, it's at the Rio, and you know, everyone is staying there.
Earl Grey.
Yeah, really, she's following the Hasbrat, I think, is really what it is.
Come for the revolution, stay for the Hasbrat.
It's got to be fresh Hasbrat. None of that replicated stuff.
Like, Daniel's like, at the watching the end of this episode, like, tears are coming down the face. It's like, oh, it's the Hasbrat. It's so spicy. It's what it is.
The Orb.
Also, the original title of this episode was A Matter of Breeding. Which, when we talk about things feeling TNG-ish, that could have been a Riker episode.
The Ready Room.
It's about people and feelings and emotions. It's about philosophy. It's about the future. It's about hope. It's about glory. It's about intellectual promise. That's what Axanar is about. It is not a story about pew, pew, pew. I promise you that.
To the journey! I do have one honorable mention.
Name it.
Prax!
Oh, how could we not have a top five season five moments without Prax?
Warp 5.
It kind of like is akin to when fans saw the Galaxy class in The Next Generation for the very first time, and you had basically a crew and civilian complement of, what, over 1,000 people? About two-thirds of that complement were civilians and their families. So you actually did have teachers and scholars and scientists and their extended families on board.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
One of the things that amazes me about the score for Star Trek The Motion Picture is that he only had 50% of the movie available to him when he scored. So he was scoring an awful lot to scene missing.
The 602 Club.
Where did he get the cloak from on the other planet? I really, really, really want to know. He shows up with the cloak.
He kind of fashioned it out of a rudimentary lathe.
Literary Treks.
It's a small point, but I thought it was really interesting to have here in the book because, again, that's what Star Trek Deep Space Nine has really always done for Star Trek, which is kind of make faith okay in the Star Trek universe and show how it's valid. And so I thought that was a really nice, it's a tiny point in the book, but I thought it was pretty powerful, at least for me, who is somebody who is of faith. So
Axanar, the official podcast.
It is the spirit of TOS that matters that's being captured, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the aesthetic. The aesthetic was 1966 to 1969. That had its moment. It had its time. And there's a certain amount of charm still to that. But it doesn't allow you to push the narrative forward because that type of aesthetic holds creativity back, in my opinion.
Keiko could totally beat the crap out of Rumpelstiltskin. This is so, like, I cannot buy this at all. That she's just sitting there being like, oh, my baby.
At the very least, she could throw a plant at him or something. Because we established in TNG that pot foo is a thing.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and get in on the daily Trek Talk. You'll find them on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, or you can just stream from the website. Just visit trek.fm/podcast to get all the links. Well, if you'd like to contact us and share your thoughts on today's show, you can go to trek.fm/contact. There's a form there. Choose send a show and choose standard orbit. That'll come to both of us by email. You can also use the tab in the left-hand column of any page to send us a voicemail using your webcam's microphone. And you can talk to us and our other listeners at our Facebook group, The Babel Conference. You can find Mike on Twitter at Mumbles3K, and you can find him on his own website at CommentaryTrackStars.com and right here on Trek FM under Commentary Trek Stars. And you can find me on Twitter at 005-DOUBLEOFIVE. Before we go, we'd like to ask everyone to please support our sponsor who helps us bring Standard Orbit to you each week, and our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible's a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. Audible's the premier source for audiobooks, and more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. As a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial just to see how great Audible is. So give it a try today, catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you yet to read, and the latest novel from your favorite author as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Standard Orbit and Trek FM. We'd also like to thank Richard Rutledge Jr. and Renee Roberts for being our associate producers this week by supporting us on Patreon. You can find Richard on Twitter at RUT8972 and Renee at MRES_1701. If you want to help them keep us in orbit, you can also support us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find a list of donation levels where you can get things like exclusive digital goodies, early access to episodes, access to our project manager, and even be listed as an associate producer for our shows. You'll find out where the donations can go, things like covering the monthly cost of hosting and distribution, hiring an editor for our shows, and upgrading our equipment. Again, that's patreon.com/trekfm, so check it out. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a good week and keep on trekking. It is the will of Landru.
Mr. Chekov, take us out of orbit. Ahead, warp factor 1.
Hi, sir.